undefeated four-time world champion, two-time CHOP winner, world-class athlete, fitness and wellness expert, TV host, cooking enthusiast, founder of the Layla Ali lifestyle brand, mother of two, daughter of three-time boxing champion, and one of the most celebrated athletes of our time, boxing icon Muhammad Ali. She's keeping busy this day. She just released her cookbook, Food for Life, and there's so much more to talk about. I am thrilled to welcome to my show, Layla Ali.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you, and I have to tell you the cutest story first. So I was just in Florida visiting my father, who's going to be 89, God bless him.
Aww.
And he said, you know, and I was telling him that I had you on, and he's the biggest boxing fan in the world. He'll like box in his chair, like with his shoulders. And
aww,
he goes, you tell
so
her that her dad was a gentleman. He goes, I used to watch him box in the Bronx, and he was always polite and always a gentleman.
Oh, that's so sweet. And he's telling the truth, because my dad really loves people, you know, and always took the time for everyone. So I'm glad he had the opportunity to be around him or to meet him. That's pretty cool.
I know, right? That was so cool. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I had to share that with you. So you're busy. Your new cookbook, your first ever cookbook, which I love so much, Food for Life. And I know it was very important for you to make it very healthy. You have your own kids, too. And what we put in our body is basically who we are. So we're going to talk about that, too, and your beauty products, your philanthropy work. And now you launched Layla Ali Lifestyle. That's so cool. And you're partnering with TIAA Oath and Oath to serve as ambassador for TIAA Difference Maker 100 Initiative. Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm super excited to be the ambassador for TIAA. So they partner with Oath and are recognizing 100 individuals who are doing great work through their nonprofits and trying to make a difference in the world. And all these individuals that win will receive $10,000 for their nonprofit where they work. So they're going to be giving away a total of $1 million, which I think is absolutely amazing. And what's great is anyone can actually submit themselves or someone else to be considered if they go to TIAADifferenceMaker100.org. So I'm just trying to bring awareness to it because I think it's just so great.
It's so great, and I didn't even know about it until I started reading about it through you.
Right. Well, that's see. So spread the news, girls. Like, there's some money out here to get for your good. So
Right? Tell us a little bit more about it, though.
So basically, you know, a lot of people that are working, so TIAA is an organization and a company that's been around for many years, right? And they're always trying to encourage people about financial literacy, to invest their money, things like that. And right now, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to shine a light on people who are doing positive things to encourage others to do positive things as well. So on the website, that's where all the information is. Like I said, TIAADifferenceMakers100.org. And you can see the submissions and articles and videos and just inspiring stories of the difference makers across the nation. And again, like I said, submit your own person that you want to recommend or yourself. So, yeah. So,
Isn't that so nice?
They reached out to me to be the ambassador because, you know, philanthropy is at the core of my life. I mean,
yes,
just watching my dad growing up and seeing all that he did to give back was amazing. So I've partnered with organizations like Feeding America and the Women's Sports Foundation and the American Heart Association and more. So I think that's why they chose me to be an ambassador for the program.
Well, plus you stand for all of that, and so did your father. So it's a perfect fit. And you know what? If everyone was kind and everyone did, you know, made a positive impact in this world would be a better place too. So we need to.
Well, we can all do our part, and that's what I try to remind people. Because trust me, if I always, thought of just my dad and the level of, you know, goodness that he did, then I would, if I compared myself to him, I'd feel like I wasn't doing anything.
That's right.
But the thing is that, you know, we can all do it in our own way, whether it's in your community, you know, and sometimes people give back with their time. Some people give with their money. You just want to make a conscious effort to do something. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do something. And you're teaching, I'm sure you're teaching your two kids the same.
Oh, of course. You know, when we definitely, for all the obvious things like during the holidays and things like that, we make sure that we do the toy drives or, you know, help with cooking and some, or giving food to the pantries in the area. And then just anytime I see people who aren't doing so well or that are homeless, I explain to my kids. I talk about life choices and things like that and how we can help others, because I want them to be aware that not everybody can just wake up in a warm house and take a bath and eat when they want to and drink water when they want to. It astonishes them that still in other countries that some of these kids don't even have running water. They've got to walk miles to get a dirty pail of water.
Isn't it amazing?
Yep.
And it's so important to open our kids' eyes to all of the world.
Exactly. When the time is right, because at the same time, I don't want to overwhelm my children too young.
Yes, so. That's mm-hmm. true. So tell me, your cookbook, Food for Life. What a great cookbook. And I know that you've been cooking since you were 9 years old. Was it cooking or boxing first?
Yeah, definitely cooking. Cooking. You know, it's funny because I grew up in a household when my parents were married. We had a cook, and her name was Edith, and she made amazing food. And then when my parents divorced, I had to divorce the cook.
That was tough, right?
My mom, you know, she didn't really cook. So I got in the kitchen myself and started teaching myself how to cook. And I used to call my grandma on the phone and, hey, Grandma, how do you make this? How do you make that? And then from there, I kind of just self-taught. You know, I'm not a chef by any means, and I always correct people when they say that because, you know, I have too much respect for the culinary world. But I can throw down in the kitchen, and I can make just about anything taste good. And I love soul food. I love to eat. I love comfort food. But being that I was an athlete for so many years and nutrition, eating was always looked at as nutrition, like how is this going to affect my body. I've been able to take recipes that I love and say, how can I make this better for me so that I can eat it on a more regular basis. And, you know, that's how I came up with a lot of the recipes in the book, and some of them, many of them I've been making for many years, and there's also new ones in there that I created especially for the book with a writer, Lita Shintab, who is absolutely amazing. And that's how Food for Life came to be. So it's my first cookbook. I'm sure I'm going to be doing more.
I think you should. I'm following your cookbook. What's
a
daily schedule? I know you said this before too. You're not a breakfast person. I'm not a real breakfast person either. And it's hard when you have kids.
Yeah. A lot of people aren't, you know, that's why for so many years we've heard, breakfast is the most important meal. You're supposed to eat it. You know, and there's, you know, different theories on that. But I think that the main thing I try to do is I try to get nutrition in throughout the day and feed my body when I'm hungry. You know, you definitely don't want to be starving yourself. And when you do eat, you want to make sure you're eating the most nutritious food possible, because our food becomes our organs.
That's
and our
right.
skin and our hair. And people don't think of it that way. You know, if you're putting a bunch of processed stuff in your body that has no nutrients, then you could be walking around. Some people are overweight, obese, and still malnourished because they're not eating anything that's good for them. So I just try to, instead of thinking about the things that I shouldn't be eating or the things that I need to remove from my diet, or, you know, or this is what I encourage other people to do, think about what you can add, you know, to make you feel better, whether it's some bone broth. You know, if you don't like eating, you know, in the morning, do a little research on how good bone broth is for you and how healing it is. Maybe you can sip on that. You know,
sounds
maybe you can
good.
Do a shake. I like to do shakes because I don't have a lot of time and I don't want to be weighed down. I want to be energized. So I have my ingredients that I put in my shake. Those change from time to time depending on what my needs are. And it's exciting because you try new flavors. You try
right.
new things. So.
I find I put the most greens I ever eat in my shake.
Exactly, because you can't eat enough
right.
of them. You know, you can't eat enough of them, so you definitely want to supplement. But, yeah, I did a little key lime coconut shake the other day.
Oh, yum.
And it was really good, and I put a lot of spinach in there. You don't even taste it. So,
It sounds so good. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Layla Ali. She partnered with TIAA Difference Maker 100, a program that honors nonprofit workers who are making a positive impact on the world. And they're recognizing individuals, notable individuals, and reflecting on those difference makers in her life and in their lives. And I'm going to put that all up on the website too. And she has a cookbook out, Food for Life, which is also awesome. So your favorite thing to cook, what is it?
People ask me that, and it's so hard to choose just one, so I kind of just...
Okay, how about your kid's favorite thing?
You know, well, we love Taco Tuesday over here, so we love Taco Tuesday, and, you know, I put hidden vegetables in their tacos. They don't even know it, so I take zucchini and peel the green skins off and then food process the zucchini, so it's kind of riced, right, and then you put it into the... ground turkey meat, and it's just, you know, flavored up with all the spices. So they're getting like four zucchini in there with the pound of meat. So it's just like they don't even realize it. So I can feel good as a mom, you know, giving them a healthy meal, and they love it. So, yep, I would say definitely Taco Tuesday is something we all look forward to.
Oh, I have a taco night, too. Sometimes I switch them up. I'd like to switch because it's a good idea to do that. One night you have this, one night you have that. And between sports, you know, it gets busy. Okay, so what was it like growing up Muhammad Ali's daughter?
You know, I don't know any other life, but I would say that it's amazing. It was amazing to have someone like himself right in your house as your role model. You know, I didn't know at a young age how famous my dad was or why he was so famous, but I have a lot of pride now, obviously, knowing everything that he went through on his way to becoming a beloved global icon. And I have utmost respect for him and put him on the highest pedestal. But my dad was just not a big disciplinarian, loved to just say yes, loved for us to have fun, you know, taking us places. But he definitely would spoil you to death.
That's what my dad sounds like, the same person.
Yeah, he would spoil you to death. And he, you know, but he would sit us down and have serious conversations about the world and people and being good children and everything. So he did do that. But for the most part, it was all fun with my dad. He loved having guests around, always entertaining. I mean, our house was like a public place. Mm-hmm. And you'd see people like Michael Jackson and Prince and Stevie Wonder and, you know, John Travolta and just every big star of the time coming to see Muhammad being a fan. It was just a regular day at our house.
Isn't that amazing? He would have been, would he have been 76 this year?
I think so, yeah, 76 or 77.
Isn't
I'm so
that
bad with
amazing.
Numbers. Yeah,
no, I'm bad with that too. All right, so when you decided you wanted to be a boxer, did you train privately? Did you come out and tell him, like, I think I'm going to do this?
I did train privately because I saw women's boxing on television for the first time when I was about 18, and you know, I had contemplated doing it for a year. The seed had been planted, but I was kind of, you know, wasn't sure that's the route I wanted to go with my life. And then once I decided I wanted to give it a stab, I got to the boxing gym, started training in the evenings, and I was going to school and had my own business at the time. And, you know, my dad got wind of it and tried to talk me out of it indirectly, and that didn't work. So he decided to just go ahead and support me, and he did. So.
But I would imagine, because back then there wasn't really girl boxers, right?
Yeah, there were, but it wasn't promoted or televised.
Right.
So nobody really knew about it, just like I didn't. I didn't know until I was 18, and I couldn't believe that I didn't know, and I'm sure my father didn't either. So Christy Martin was the biggest name back then. I think in 1996, she was on a major undercard, a Mike Tyson undercard, and that's when women's boxing got exposure on that level for the first time. That's when I saw it, and I'm sure a lot of people did. And, you know, I ended up fighting Christy, which is crazy. You know, I think they're about to do a movie about her life, which would be great.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to do one about your life one day, too.
Eventually, yeah, probably.
If you were here, by the way, in my town, I would be your friend. Like, I think we could hang, because you sound like the same, reading all about you and knowing about you, I was like, you sound like we would be like, we're the same kind of person with our kids and our family and everything
right.
else. So I'm sure it was a lot of pressure, though, because everyone was like, oh, Muhammad Ali's daughter is going to box. And that had to be a lot on your shoulders, too, though.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, I can handle a lot. Nobody had higher expectations than me that I had on myself, so that was just not even an issue. I have really, luckily, naturally, since I was young, been able to take energy and transfer it into something positive. So for me, the more you know, naysayers there were, the more people said I couldn't do it, the harder I worked to prove them wrong. So I just let it fuel my fire, you know, and you know, I was on a mission, you know, so it wasn't really, I wasn't really waking up thinking about anybody else but myself and what I wanted for myself. So, and I'm just glad, like I said, that both of my parents, my mom and my dad, gave me the space to be confident and feel like I could do anything that I wanted to do, and nothing was going to stop me, not even my dad. So.
I love that. You could feel it in your voice when you're talking about it.
Thank
too.
You.
So
thank
the first time you got in that ring, what was that like? What was it like? Were you just like zoned in to do what you had to do?
Well, you know, it's hard to explain, but you know, your adrenaline is going, you're on. It's like every horror hard mile that you ran, every piece of bread that you didn't eat, every body blow you took in the gym training, you know, to get, this is the moment, you know, and it's going to, you know, my first fight was a 4-round fight, 2-minute round. So I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be over really quickly. So I got to give it my all, you know, for this amount of time. But I've been training for months and months and months for it. So, you know, I just went in there with supreme confidence, and, you know, it was over before I knew it. I knocked the girl out in 54 seconds, and I remember I was upset, like, what? All that training for that? Girl, get up. So I'm like, really? I was really pissed. Yeah.
That's funny. So, okay, so now do you still train? What do you do for exercise?
Well, today I got on my Peloton. It's a cycle.
Oh my God, I want one so bad.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. They're pricey, but it's worth it. I mean, especially if you like cycling and you like doing it with a group of people, because you can zone in. You have the screen in front of you, and they have live classes, as you know. And I'm not doing an ad for Peloton. I'm serious. I just really
Know. I believe
it. Yeah. So I do that sometimes because I didn't have a lot of time today. So I said, let me just go get a 20-minute high intensity workout in. And then other times I do have a home gym. So I like to kind of train in privacy when I can, because when you go to the gym, you know, a lot of times, especially when I'm recognizable, people stop you. They want to talk to you. They're watching you. And the gym is just not the place you want that. Okay. So I go to my gym at my house, and I have equipment in there. So I'll maybe do like 15 minutes on the treadmill, 15 minutes on the rotating stairs, hit my heavy bag for 15 minutes. I'll do like a circuit and switch it up, because I get bored pretty easily.
Yeah, so,
so I'd like to try to do like a full body workout, though, because I've been training for so many years that I'm like, what can I do now that I can continue doing that is fun to me? You know, I don't want to do anything that I don't really enjoy doing.
Oh my God, amazing. Now I'm back onto that again. I keep saying
that Peloton, girl.
I want one of those. I really do. It needs to be the official ride of my show or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. So your kids, do you think, okay, they're what, are they six? What, I'm going to try and think. 6 and 9 now?
They are. Well, Sydney just turned 7, and like on April 4th, so you're really close. And CJ, Curtis turned 9. I mean, he's 9, so he'll be 10 in August.
Oh, God. Okay, so do you think there's any boxing?
Oh, well, I hope not. I'm not encouraging it. So I don't see that, because they don't seem like they have the temperament. If anyone did, though, it'd be Sydney. She's the feisty one that naturally just fights everything, kind of like I did.
She's her mama.
Oh, my God. My husband reminds me all the time. He's like, don't complain. She's just like you. I'm like, oh, my God. This girl's killing me. But I love her to death. I wouldn't change anything, because I know I'm going to mold that into exactly, you know, where she needs to be.
That's right. Girls need to be a little bit tougher, too.
Yeah, she does. She just likes to fight me on her hair, on her clothes, what she's going to eat. I mean, everything is just, you know, a struggle. But, yeah, so no, I don't think so. I think they're definitely going to participate in sports, because we're going to require it. You know, I'm not trying to encourage them to become athletes necessarily, unless that's what they want to do.
Right.
But sports is just so beneficial for kids.
And it's part of being a team and teammate,
yeah,
and all that. I agree.
Exactly. And just working through the tough times and showing yourself that you can overcome, even when your body's telling, you know, your mind's telling you no, or your body's telling you no, and learning how to work through that and, you know, all of that. So, yeah, my son's playing soccer, and my daughter's getting ready to get into soccer. So, well, hopefully that those are the types of sports they'll play, not football like my husband or boxing like me.
They'll do the, well, whatever they do, I'm sure they'll be wonderful, because you're their mom. Layla Ali, world-class athlete, undefeated 4-time world champion. We didn't talk about Chopped. 2-time Chopped winner, my God.
Oh, yeah, don't forget that now, girl.
Oh, go. Are you going to do that again?
You know what? I don't know, because I mean, I'm not like at the point where I want to do it again. It's such a challenging show, so stressful. I mean, so stressful. It's like one of the hardest things I've ever done, and you know, you kind of want to just take your wins and keep going. You know, so I was lucky to have made it as far as I did, because, you know, so many, and I say lucky because so many things can happen in that kitchen. You could be the best cook ever, but, you know, it doesn't really come down to that. You know, it comes down to just how well you do under pressure, and you know, who you're going up against. Like, you might have an idea for a recipe that you're going to make, and then you need a certain item, but someone else took it, and then you got to change it up on the fly, you know? So all kind of stuff like that happens that you don't even realize. So, but I have been back to judge, and that was fun, Chop Junior. So I did that a couple times, but we'll see. You can never say never.
No, you can never say never. I'm sure that must have been meant, and I'm sure there's another book coming, and you are welcome back anytime. You are the nicest person.
You're so sweet. Thank you for having me on. I also want to let your listeners know that I have a podcast. It's called Layla Ali Lifestyles on Podcast One. You can also access it on Apple Podcasts.
That is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, everybody, so Layla most recently partnered with TIAA Difference Maker 100. We'll put all that stuff up there. And, of course, her cookbook, Food for Life. So everybody should go out and get that.
Yes,
and
they should. Send in those submissions, though. I mean, you have somebody that you know that does a lot of nonprofit work and is an amazing person, they can receive $10,000. But you got to go to TIAADifferenceMaker100.org, and I know you're going to put that information up on your site. So that's great. Thank you so much.
I absolutely am, and I look forward to talking to you again and anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Kiss those kids.
I will. You kiss yours too. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.